Welcome to Ever Beyond on Free Thinking Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Call in on 646-649-0866. That's 646-649-0866. Greetings and welcome once again to Ever Beyond. And today we're going to go beyond this planet. We're going to have a look at the heavenly bodies that we're used to, some that we used to be used to, and some that we're going to have to get used to, because it's my firm belief and conviction that there are going to be changes up in the skies. It's not going to be the same as it was. And to assist me in this quest, I have the lovely Starseed Catalyst, Michelle Long, with me. Michelle has been officiating in various ceremonies recently and has acquired various new tools to her benefit and for the benefit of humanity. Anyway, I'd like to welcome, without any further ado, Michelle Long. Good evening, good afternoon, Michelle.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. It's the afternoon for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 3:03, exactly.
3:03. There we go. So, yes. So I kind of brought you in a little impromptu this afternoon, and it was all about. I had an appearance on Rebecca Jernigan's show on Friday night on Hidden Voices Radio, and we were just talking about stuff, and out of my mouth poured all of this new stuff, which was about what was going on in the heavens and. Our perception of the solar system and the planet that we're living on, that not only there are people living on the planet, but there are people living in the planet, in cavities as well as in the hollow Earth, which is just coming to the fore. And we're also going to be apparently reunited with some of our galactic cousins, and this is where people like you come in, because you've already had advance notice in some way of their upcoming visit. Yes. So, welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
I actually have had several contacts with several different groups, which in some way, shape, or form, they are actually my star families. The first being the light beings. They have light bodies. And then also with the, I guess people would know them to be maybe Nordics. Mm-hmm. And through the recent link you sent me with the with Billy.
Oh, Billy Fay Woodward. Woodard.
Yes, yes. And I've always had a suspicion that these very tall androgynous beings that I call the 12, because there's 12 of them, so I just call them the 12. And they're around me quite a bit. I had a suspicion that they were from inner Earth. I just had a knowing about it. And then after watching that link you sent me, just everything kind of clicked into place. And I know for sure that that's where they're residing. One of the places that they're residing, anyways. And these beings work with me on different levels. I am able to tune in to the Earth energies. I'm aware of myself on a multidimensional level. Not always, but a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And it does very much play into these cycles. And it's all about the cycles. And the conclusion, which is not catastrophic in my opinion, it's a transition of, I believe it to be a beautiful transition. Now, whether it's going to be a smooth one or not depends on the individual and how and what they're doing right now. Raising their vibration and their awareness, and how they will participate through this transition will depend on how they will experience it.
Or how we will experience it, because we're all going to be going through this together, aren't we?
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, that there's a general feeling like, this is the sorting of the wheat from the chaff. And we're going to go in, have this nice time, and they're going to have this horrible time, and I'm one of the elect, and you lot aren't, and all this stuff. And I'm not entirely sure that that's going to be exactly the case. What do you think?
No. Well, it appears that, I mean, they have to be pretty flat out just not wanting to have anything to do with this whole ascension business to have a very unfavorable, uncomfortable transition. Mm. And ultimately we are all one. And from my understanding, there's going to be many, many layers and different levels of experiences. It's depending on what the groups of individuals, whatever they're resonating, whatever timeline or frequency that they're vibrating in, that will become their reality.
Hmm. So it's an interesting thing. I've got a feeling that, you know, we're all going to go through a very bumpy ride, but it's in fact how we handle the bumpy ride that will determine where you end up when the bumping stops. Is that your feeling?
It's interesting because as I've been on my spiritual path, where I was very detached, I mean attached to this level of existence, that's when you're playing the game, the third dimensional game, fully. Mm. And the more awakenings, each time I had an awakening or a contact, or they took me outside of my body or allowed me to experience no time or actually allowed me to understand and experience past, present, and future all going on at the same time, that put me in a different mindset. So I became not so attached to the trappings, for the most part, because sometimes I do get very much caught up with it, especially with the, I think we're all kind of going through this right now where we have different people doing character attacks or just doing different stuff. I see it as an opportunity for a lesson of something that I need to pay attention to.
Yes.
So I'm grateful for it, although it's could be very uncomfortable, but at the same time I know better not to go in head first and play that whole thing out, because that will put me in a position that I am not at a comfortable, detached level to not experience that of how bad it could be. I don't know if I explained that right.
I think what you're saying is you don't want to get too involved in the controversy of it, because it's part of a big drama that would take you away from your spiritual path, which is to remain calm. So I think in terms of anything that is going on for anybody here, be it physical illness, be it family issues, be it global issues, be it politics, wherever you're at, whatever you do, try to remain calm, because it's when you get heated up that you will burn up.
And
we're gonna discuss this later, because it's very, very relevant to the Hopi prophecy. We're gonna look at the Hopi prophecy in a short while. So we're seeing the movement from people who are not very partisan, not very kind of polarized, and then what we're seeing is instead of it becoming one group against another, we're seeing two groups, one of which is completely fighting against itself. It's fighting against different parts of itself, and then there's another group that is going to be stepping away from all of that. They'll be stepping away from worry. They'll eventually think, well, you know, if there's a great big planetoid coming our way, what's the point of paying these taxes? What's the point of paying this bank interest on my mortgage? What's the point of anything in this world? And
right.
I think some people also, you know, might feel that that's a very negative thing to say. You know, what's the point of this? What's the... Well, actually, the point of it is to steal your money and make you unhappy. So the point of it is to not be made unhappy anymore, to step out of the paradigm where you're concerned about what the banks are going to think about you.
Yeah.
Because imagine how many people now are still so locked up that they care about their credit rating.
Right. And I was there. I mean, I was in an industry, the mortgage banking industry, where I did extremely well. I was very successful. And I first had the... an organization contact me, which, by the way, within the I did read 4,000 pages of their information. They would be considered maybe a United States branch of the Illuminati, which I found out later. Of course, they're not going to tell you up front who they are. But they did, in their books, and I read 4,000 pages of their information, they did talk about cycles. They talked about the 13,000-year cycle, the 26,000-year cycle, and there was another one. I can't remember what it was right now, but there was three cycles that they would talk about. And then as I progressed through my lessons, my life lessons, I realized, I'll get back to the cycles of the organization, but I was very, very much involved in the banking industry, and then I had my ET contact after the organization contacted me. So it kind of pulled the third dimensional rug out from under my feet, and there was, it really blew apart my whole construct. So I had nothing to go on anymore. I couldn't participate in the level that I was participating before because it just didn't make sense to me anymore. So going back to what you were saying regarding paying your taxes and everything, unless you have something that's really devastating or really shakes you, or you have a near-death experience or an ET contact or something, you're pretty much going to continue to pay your taxes. And unfortunately, it seems like this is the whole point, I think, of all these things going on, is that it's going to take something pretty drastic, like disasters that are going on all over the world, to wake people up. It's time to start waking up.
I think you're absolutely spot on that all these vibrations, there's shakings, we're being shaken awake. But what does that mean? What does being awake mean, Michelle?
That's a good question. I think it's we're all on our own path. It seems, you know, everybody says that, and it's true. Everybody has a different piece of the puzzle to contribute. So some people need a major experience to have that awakening. Some people may be born awake, others, it just depends on their path. And I think it's breaking out of this system to be able to look at it from a galactic standpoint and to understand what your purpose and your mission is here in the now, and then being brave enough to really go inside and connect to who you are, your higher self, and bring that into this third dimensional experience and be here to help and to really act out and be what you are supposed to be here, whatever piece, whatever information or action or whatever it is. That we really need to start doing that now.
Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting thing. I've been following various things on the internet. You know, as we're all doing, we're all sharing information, and everybody's giving new bits everybody's got a new bit that comes in, and that makes more of the pieces. And one of the pieces that I received was the idea of the star seed markings. That's right. This woman called Lavendar. Have you heard of Lavendar?
Yes, through you.
All right. Okay. Anyway, she was talking about these starseed markings and about people who are born 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th of the month, which gives a particular degree on the things that apparently have these starseeds things. Now, if I can remember, when is your birthday?
Well, there's a clue. I mean, if you've never really felt like you fit in, and you felt like somebody just dropped you off in some foreign, you never really felt at home anywhere, that might be a clue.
That might be a clue. And also there are a lot of people who suffer physical problems just because we're here, you know, just because they're here. You know, they may be allergic to the environment, they may be allergic to the electromagnetics and things like that, and certainly allergic to all the poisons. It may be that these are very, very normal people, but because our current generation of Earth-based families have been here for so long that they're immune to the poisons. And so you may get a lot of star seeds who are coming in, and they're allergic, and they can't live near people because, you know, they just get headaches because you can hear all the other people thinking, or feel them thinking, or feel them not thinking, which is the worst part.
Right.
You know, you just feel this kind of dense sludge where the freedom of mind should be. We're all coming to the point. Yeah, I really am so feeling this is the point, you know, and whether it's the third of the seventh, or the seventh of the seventh, or the 11th of the 11th, or the 9th of the 11th, or the 11th of the 9th, there's all these numbers are coming up this year. Each of those dates have some kind of significance. So let's just run them by one more time. We've got an eclipse coming up. That's next Wednesday, and what day is that? That's something. Next Wednesday is the 29th of June. Okay, and that's going to have a solar eclipse. Now it won't happen.
That's funny. That's my son's birthday, June 29th.
Max. Oh yes, Max. We'll talk about Max later, shall we? Not your son Max, but a Max that we've heard about as well.
Oh yes, yes.
So we have all these dates that are coming up. So let's just run a few by, and you may even come up with a few more. Now I know you say you don't get facts and dates, but you will. They'll pop in your mind, I'm pretty sure. So I'm very interested in this thing that is called Elenin. They say it's a comet, but I've not seen how big it is. I don't know whether it's the size of a car, the size of a bus, the size of an aircraft carrier, the size of a house, or the size of a small planet. And then there's also talk of this thing that they call Planet X. And then also there's Wormwood and Nibiru. Now, I'm trying to fit everything in into the big scheme of things.
Well, all of those three are the same thing.
I don't think Elenin is the same as Nibiru.
No.
But there are two of everything. There's always two. There's the red pill and the blue pill. I think we're going to get the blue pill first. And this connects in with the Hopi prophecies. So what do you know about the blue thing and the red thing? Elenin and Nibiru.
Right. Now it's interesting because I'm barely trying in the last year or so. I'm trying to catch up on all the the information, the many, many, many layers of information that I have. Because, see, I've had kind of a weird experience with all this stuff, because I just have stuff that symbolizes things that I will learn later. Like, for instance, I had, before I had the contact by the organization, I, for whatever reason, I was at my favorite plant nursery, and they had this obelisk there. It was really unusual to have something like that there, but I just had to have this obelisk fountain. And I had it in my backyard. It was great. And then all of a sudden, I was contacted by the organization. And to make a long story short, I realized that they were part of the Illuminati. So the very first book I went to the bookstore, I saw this book. It was called Cloak of the Illuminati, and it's by William Henry. And I opened the book, and tell me that the glyph that he has, the hieroglyph that he had in the page that I opened, was the same one on my obelisk that I had at home. So I pretty much almost dropped the book, and it freaked me out. So going back to Nibiru. Now, I have had things like that were either given to me or I was prompted to get them. I have this Celtic cross, the necklace that I used to wear and still sometimes do. The Celtic cross also, that's another symbol of that planet. It's also, another symbol would be I forget the name of it. It's like this ray type of thing, and it has a star in the center. So I had certain pieces of jewelry and stuff that had these symbols on it that I didn't know what they were. And then when I went through that process of learning who that organization was, unfortunately for about, I don't know, maybe 2.5 or 3 years, every time I'd read a book, it always had to do with something bad. All these symbols were bad. They were cultish. You know, it was, of course, it was... they take these symbols and they put a negative spin on them, so to keep you away from that information. I think the planet itself, it's part of our cleansing process. I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. I see it as... I don't think it's necessarily going to be as destructive as people think it will be. Regarding the blue star and the red star. Now, the blue is supposed to be the blue star prophecy, the blue kachina, right? And the red is supposed to be the destructive aspect of it. You said everything is duality. Everything's in twos.
Yes.
Correct. Again, it's part of our process, and I believe it. A lot of the cleansing that we will go through and we are going through, a lot of our personal transitions, or even on a collective level, because there's multiple layers of things going on that are going to help us through our shift.
Cool.
So we have to work on an individual basis of clearing out our negative karma, fears, limitations, all of the old programming has to come apart, or it doesn't have to. We have a free will choice, but you know, we're gonna. It's like how much free will is in free will choice? I mean, I had to learn that the hard way. So it's gonna get done one way or another. And then the transition on a collective level. So I think this is a very beautiful process. Since I've already experienced past, present, and future all going on at the same time, and I was able to see the Earth while we were going through the transition, I already know for myself that it's already done. And the interesting thing is that when I was looking at it, I had seen it before. It was happening in that moment. It was going to happen, and it had happened already.
As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end.
Correct.
So, that's very interesting. So, you're saying that the, you know, the prophecies, because you actually did the same process as the prophet, by seeing past, present, and future as one, that's pure prophecy, you know, when you can bring that back. And so you saw the blue kachina and the red kachina, or just the blue?
Well, actually, I didn't see either.
Right.
What I saw was the earth being covered and engulfed in white light. But it wasn't so much what I was looking at visually. It was a knowing. I knew on a knowing level what it was. Mm-hmm. And I also knew on a knowing level that I had seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my second time seeing it from a third dimensional standpoint. But in that, where I was, because there was no time, you know, it was past, present, future, all going on at the same time. And it's interesting how the beings like to work with me, because they like me to see stuff like that, but not only see it, I understand it. It's telepathic, it's on a knowing level, and I really believe that that's going to be part of my contribution as to why I'm here. It seems like I will, it's almost as if they're wanting me to pull in things that are just not fathomable, not possible. They're putting it into my head. They want me to see it and feel it. So when at some point in the future, I will, access that, and I'll already know what it feels like, and I'll be able to pull it in.
Yeah. You'll have reference point.
Yes. Now, if that makes sense to anybody, I don't know. I'm still working that one out myself, but on a knowing level, I know exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
To verbalize it, it's very difficult.
Yeah, until somebody's already described it, and then you say, yes, that's exactly what I mean.
Yes.
That's the tricky
when
bit.
When I had my awakening, I spent 2.5 years reading every single book I could get my hands on, because I saw things that I didn't even know had names. And then as I'm reading the books, I thought, oh, okay, that's what that is. That's what that means. And I went through this whole process.
Yes.
For 2.5 years.
As the Buddha himself said, study your butt off.
And that I did. But I process things very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we don't have time to go to the Buddhist temples or go live in a cave somewhere and stay there for 14 years. We don't have that kind of time.
No, because we've already done it.
All this stuff. And we've already done it many times.
We've already done that's what the use of past lives is about. We've already done all that stuff. So basically, anybody who has an interest in all that stuff, you know, who listens to internet radio shows about spirituality, who is not necessarily on the, you know, on the religious path, has maybe gone disillusioned with religion because it kind of promises something that it doesn't quite deliver, whereas spirituality is kind of the real deal. That's what we're really looking forward to, which
or
is actually,
they could come I'm sorry,
on you go.
Or they could come full circle with their religion, and they can realize, and then they have an awakening that that realization is that they're really never going to get anywhere, and then they break away from their religion.
Yeah, it's a bit like loving marzipan and having to eat more marzipan than you could ever possibly eat to stop yourself. You do kind of like an aversion therapy of some kind. So you sort of indulge yourself completely in religion. Now, I opened a browser, and I'm trying to remember. Ah, yes, I know why. Because of the Kachina prophecies, right?
Oh.
And it was something that I noticed, and I, you know, a lot of people said that they've already been fulfilled, because this blue Kachina is supposed to have appeared a few years ago, and it was this kind of fuzzy blue dot that you could barely make out. Whereas I'm actually more of the opinion that we haven't seen anything yet. Or as you Americans say, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read out. Would that be terrible? I'm going to read out a few paragraphs of this thing. This is an excerpt from The Last Cry, which is Native American Prophecies and Tales of the End Times by Dr. Robert Ghost Wolfe. And he wrote it between 1994 and 2004. It's all over the place. I mean, it's been on all sorts of websites and magazines and all of this stuff. So I'm just going to read a few things, and I'm going to do it with... I'm going to have some... let's see. Well, let's see what this music sounds like, because you've not heard it either. So let's hear what this sounds like. Oh, yeah, that sounds quite atmospheric, doesn't it?
Yes.
All right, well, let's start with this. The story of the blue Kachina is a very old story. Very old. I've been aware of the story of the blue Kachina since I was very young. I was told this story by grandfathers who are now between 80 and 108 years of age. Frank Walters also wrote about Sakasohu, the blue star Kachina in the Book of the Hopi. The story came from Grandfather Dan, oldest Hopi. It was told to me that first the blue Kachina would start to be seen at the dances and would make his appearance known to the children in the plaza during the night dance. This event would tell us that the end times are very near. Then the blue star Kachina would physically appear in our heavens, which would mean that we were in the end times. In the final days, we will look up in the heavens and we will witness the return of the two brothers who helped create this world in the birthing time. Hogang Hoya is the guardian of our North Pole, and his brother, Palonga Waha, is the guardian of the South Pole. In the final days, the blue star Kachina will come to be with his nephews, and they will return to the Earth to its natural rotation, which is counterclockwise. Note that last bit. In the final days, the blue star Kachina will come to be with his nephews, and they will return the Earth to its natural rotation, which is counterclockwise. Okay. This fact is evident in many petroglyphs that speak of the zodiac and within the Mayan and Egyptian pyramids. The rotation of the Earth has been manipulated by not-so-benevolent star beings. The twins will be seen in our northwestern skies. They will come and visit and see who still remembered the original teachings flying in their patu voitas, or flying shields. They will bring many of their star family with them in the final days. The return of the blue star Kachina, who is also known as Nanga Sohu, will be the alarm clock that tells us the new day and new way of life. A new world that is coming. This is where the changes will begin. They will start as fires that burn within us, and we will burn up with desires and conflict if we do not remember the original teachings and return to the peaceful way of life. Not far behind the twins will come the purifier, the red Kachina, who will bring the day of purification. On this day, the earth, her creatures, and all life as we know it will change forever. There will be messengers that will precede this coming of the purifier. They will leave messages to those on earth who remember the old ways. The messages will be found written in the living stone, through the sacred grains and even the waters. From the purifier will issue forth a great red light. All things will change in their manner of being. Every living thing will be offered the opportunity to change, from the largest to the smallest things. Those who return to the ways given to us in the original teachings and live a natural way of life will not be touched by the coming of the purifier. They will survive and build the new world. Only in the ancient teachings will the ability to understand the messages will be found. Well.
Wow.
So that's pretty powerful stuff. Should we run a few of those bits by us again?
Yeah. Sure.
Or is there something that kind of you can't? You'll explode if I don't say anything.
No. I'm holding it together quite nicely today.
Oh, jolly good. Jolly good. Michelle will not explode on this show tonight. I'm sorry to disappoint those who have been waiting for the moment, but sad to say, or happy to say, Michelle will remain in one piece. Meanwhile, where are we? Back to the Hopi prophecies, and sorry, I have to keep switching browsers to see these things. Let's just let the first thing. So it says, then the blue star Kachina would physically appear in our heavens. Now, as far as I can see, when they're talking about in our heavens, I would translate to the modern speak, and I'd say into our Earth moon orbit space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our heavens. That blue, right. That fuzzy little blue dot somewhere around Andromeda, that was useless. None of these comets are any good, are they? I mean, so far, they've been tiny little dots, and you can just about see them. You know, in the old days.
Or anything like that. It's always supposed to be a sign of transition anyways.
Yes.
But it's always been held in a negative light. But that's what they want, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always serves their agenda to make something scary. So, you know, I'm not scared of this thing because I think, you know, if this is... you know, when you talk about, oh, the end of the world as we know it. Well, the world as we know it is full of police state and martial law and bad evil bankers and bad evil chemtrails and you know, it's the end of the world as we know it wouldn't be such a bad thing as far as I can see, because the world as we know it is quite a difficult place to exist unless you're
absolutely
an elite. Yeah.
I mean, if you're it kind of sucks, yeah. Really. I mean, yeah. To be awake. And that's another thing I had a really, really hard time with, and I still do, is being forced to survive in a construct knowing full well what it is.
Mm.
Now, that's a hard a pill to swallow.
Yeah, and that's not even blue. So it's very interesting that there's the blue pill, red pill thing. So it's like you can take the blue pill, but you're going to get the red pill anyway. You know, if we're stretching the matrix thing, you know, mm-hmm. You could try and take the easy option and go back to your normal life and you know, forget all this multidimensional stuff and. But it'll still come up in your face in the near future anyway. So, you know,
synchronistically, it'll start showing up all over the place. I mean, that's really what happened to me too, because I had a pretty good awakening, and then, I mean, it was to the point where I was just looking over my shoulder because all this stuff was happening. I mean, bizarre stuff, things that you couldn't even think that could happen were happening. And it's, I guess, you know, I had to get enough of that experience to finally say, okay, I give. I'm coming in peace. I'm not going to, because I kind of went down kicking and screaming. You know, I didn't, and especially because there was a lot of information that was given to me through an organization that had an ulterior motive as to why they were recruiting me, obviously. And all the negative stuff that was out there about the Illuminati, which I do agree, you know, but you got to say, okay, well, which Illuminati are you talking about? Are you talking about the bloodline Illuminati? Are you talking about, you know, some people could be talking about, you know, the light beings, which are something else entirely different.
Yeah. And, you know, there's they all worship some form of Egyptian religion, but there's always a light side and a dark side. There's a light side and a dark side to Tibetan Buddhism, you know. And just see the Golden Child for that.
Well, I mean, honestly, how could we learn if there wasn't? I mean, this is we're in.
We're getting streetwise, galactically streetwise. So. there are galactic lies. Just because they come from the sky doesn't mean that they won't tell a lie. Oh, there's a rhyme. Anyway.
That's true, too. That's why I'm very careful. You know, another thing which was really interesting is that I was still making a lot of money at this time, and I was living in a house that was really haunted, and or I thought it was haunted. It was actually other beings coming to pay me a visit. Oh. I had to figure that one out. But all of a sudden, I just had this really strong urge to move. It's like, I got to move. I got to get out of here. I'm moving. And I just got a really big push to leave. And now, keeping in mind, this is a house I absolutely loved. I had animals there. I had my garden. It was beautiful. I just had like a knowing. Well, anyways, I ended up getting this beach house. And when I walked into it, of course I called. It was open, you know, just by stroke of luck, you know, it was open for viewing. Everything went off like clockwork. I mean, I knew I was supposed to be there. And it was really weird because when I went up to the master bedroom, there was, and it's the only door handle in the whole entire place. It was the door handle of my master bedroom. Mm-hmm. It had Egyptian hieroglyphs on it, and it had the circle with the dot in the center on the handle.
Raw.
Yeah, see, I mean, and I knew when I saw that, I absolutely knew. I said, I'm going to get this house. Now, because it was a really big, expensive house, there was probably about four or five other couples, and here I am, a single woman. You know,
a single mother,
exactly. And I had, you know, I think it would have been a much safer choice because I had just opened a business. You know, I had the money in the bank, but I'm sure the other people, because they were attorneys and other things, that they looked more solid on paper than I did. And plus, you know, again, I was single. And I it didn't matter. I knew when I saw that door handle and I felt the energy in the house, I absolutely knew it's mine. And I got it.
Lovely.
And by all rights, I shouldn't have. But that's also the same house that I had the experience with the light beings.
And, yeah, there's a very special house. So how does that relate to the blue pill and the red pill?
How does that relate? Well, of course, you know, it's an awakening, and there's synchronicities. There are certain things that will happen to you throughout your life that and I think they're happening a lot more. I know they are. Just to pay attention to. And you have a conscious free will choice to make the best possible decision for really, truly, the co-creation of your life. Because we have that power now.
So, we find our place in the world. We find the place that we need to be. And then we wait. We wait for these blue things. Now, it says here, then the blue star Kachina would physically appear in our heavens. All right? So, again, we're coming back to, it's going to appear in our earth space, in our airspace. Yeah. You know, it's going to be really obvious. It's not going to be something that will be like half a light year away, you know, right. And there's a fuzzy dot. It's going to be a big bloody thing in the sky. And I think that that's what Elenin is.
Let me just say one more thing.
Juan.
After I had the experience with the light beings, because I had had several contacts, that was just like I was done. I lost everything. Nothing mattered. I let it all go. The houses, the car, I stopped working.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a feeling, I mean, was the feeling of, you know, I'm just abandoning this because I see the lack of meaning of it all? Or did you think, oh, there's no point to life anymore because this is something, you know? Was it, how loving of the rest of the things that you let go of was it?
Well, I didn't have a hard time at all. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people in my line of business and my friends thought, they just were in shock. They're like, what are you doing? They thought I went crazy or something, mm-hmm. You know, because they couldn't understand it. And I really alienated myself at that point because nobody was supportive of me, and I didn't feel I needed to explain it to anybody because I knew they wouldn't understand it anyways. Mm-hmm. And I was really trying to sort out a lot. I was very preoccupied with the non-seen things at this point because now that was my new reality and everything else just kind of floated away, which would have been considered a third dimensional. But I still had to stay here. So at one point, I almost walked out of my body. And then about that time, a spiritual teacher showed up and he said that there are a lot of beings just waiting for me to do that. So I better make a decision to stay and complete my mission, he said, because your body will not just die. Somebody else will come in and continue your work. Mm. So then I made a decision at that time to reconnect because I could not reconnect. I just, as hard as I tried, it just, nothing made sense to me anymore. I was like, forget it. This is a joke. Mm. And I didn't know how to, it was like fitting a circle in a, you know, like square. Trying to fit a square. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I still have trouble with it because, you know, I mean, we're forced in a lot of ways to, we have to survive. And I've tried, you know, the funny thing is, too, is that I've tried to open furniture stores online. I've tried to do different businesses. And it just, no matter what I try, it doesn't work. Before, everything I did worked.
A golden girl. Everything you touched turned to gold.
I just couldn't fail.
Isn't it interesting?
So, yeah, and it's not that I'm failing now at all. I do ceremonies and healings and all this stuff. I mean, I don't even ask for donations. This is all free. It's all from my heart.
So, how do you get to support yourself?
Well, I do work at night. I'm a cocktail waitress, which seems to serve its purpose at the moment, because I really tried to work on that online furniture store, thinking, okay, you know, this is going to work, but it just, I don't know, it doesn't work. So, and quite a few of the other things I've tried. So it seems like, but then you know what? When I stopped fighting that, I thought, okay, how perfect is this? I work at night, but I have my entire day.
Yeah.
To write, to do the work that I'm doing as far as healing. And I mean, look at, I'm doing a radio show at, you know, 3-something. I wouldn't be able to do that if I had a 9-to-5 job, a regular day job.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So yeah. Once I started looking at it that way, I thought, oh, okay, it's not that bad.
Yeah. And you never know. You could influence. I was just thinking while you were talking about cocktails, you could have enlightenment cocktails that contain like a capsule of Stem Enhance. With some monatomic gold powder sprinkled in there.
You know, maybe I should open up a white powder gold bar.
Well, there you go. People come in for their morning hit.
I wasn't talking about... I'm talking about the monatomic.
Yeah, exactly. You get a monatomic gold hit, you know. Although you give them a little, you know, 15 minutes, $20 or something, and they take a thing of gold under their tongue, and you put them in a little chair, which massages them and puts some nice music in their headphones for 10 minutes and gets them through all the alpha states, and then they're ready for work.
Gosh, too bad you're in Scotland. We could have... done a partnership.
It's all right. I don't even want a franchise for it. Anybody can do it. But wouldn't it be great if you could come out of the tube station, you know, and just before you go into the office, you have this little treatment, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, just
that would be nice.
Recharge before you get into work.
You know, but another really funny thing is that I've had more spiritual conversations at work, believe it or not.
Yep.
Because, you know, I can kind of read energies. I know who I could talk to. If I spot one, I don't waste any time.
So, here's things to talk about when you get to work. The blue kachina and the red kachina. So, now, where is it? Yes. I'm going to bring in our dear friend and soul brother, Brian, into Nosia.
Oh, excellent.
Because he has some... There we go. I hope he's listening. There we go. So we're calling out to him. So hopefully, you know. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
I'm very well.
Good. Hi, Brian.
How you doing, Michelle?
Good, good.
Been tuned in for half an hour.
Excellent. So listen, we were talking about the blue and the red kachina. I read this Hopi prophet. Was the music too loud, Brian? Did you hear it?
I caught the end of it, and no, it was fine.
Oh, good.
Everything was just fine.
And we're talking about the blue kachina and the red kachina. Which, then the blue star kachina would physically appear in our heavens, which would mean that we were in the end times.
This is related to the blue star prophecy that Miriam talks about?
This is the blue star prophecy. This is the Hopi prophecy that is the blue star, the red star, and all these people coming back, Ninhursag, Nanga Solo. It sounds too much like Ninhursag to be not somebody else, yeah. The return of the blue star Kachina, who is also known as Nangasohu, will be an alarm clock that tells us the new day and a new way of life, a new world that is coming. This is where the changes will begin. They will start as fires that burn within us, and we will burn up with desires and conflict if we do not remember the original teachings and return to the peaceful way of life. Mm-hmm. How does that grab you, Brian?
That resonates with me tremendously, actually. That's pretty much the way I've been living my life the last year, is slowly moving towards that place where I don't have materialistic needs, I don't have attachment to individuals, to the point, you know, like, my daughter is an exception, but I mean, like, I'm able to, in other words, live centered within myself, with my surrounding, respect the energies that are, you know, in my surrounding, in my environment, the very shamanistic type way of life, you know, very simple, very down-to-earth, grounded, meditations and things like that on a regular basis. And I think the thing that I would like to add to that I found was very interesting yesterday when I was having a conversation about this kind of stuff with my friend, is we were just taking note that, you know, something as simple as a railing on a porch in the backyard is something that needs to be appreciated for what it's worth, because everything is energy, everything's consciousness. So what we see and what we experience from our subjective point of view is something somebody else 50,000 planet from here can't experience, because we're meant to experience it. And so, you know, all these things going on in the universe, they're all taking place, they're all taking shape, they're all coming together. And it seems that no matter how subjective we want to get, we all end up coming back to the same thing, where we have to center ourselves, we have to find ourselves. We need to also find those that are of like minds, our soul groups, families, and things like that, and reunite and become one people again to basically rebuild the new world. At least that's the perception I have of it. And so it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, you're supposed to experience the things you are experiencing at that time. But when the change comes to your doorstep, two things will happen. First of all, I would say your mettle will be tested. And two, depending on how you decide to go along with the flow, you're either going to make it or you're going to break. So seeing the changes coming in because of the Elenin story and things that we all know of, that NASA's come clear about the fact that it is existent, it is coming. That's the way I look at it. I look at it as a very dark end times that's coming, but it's not necessarily the end of the world. It's more the end of a cycle and the start of a new one. But to bring that new change, you have to take out all the garbage. So that's the way I'd sum it up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Do you want to speak to that, Michelle?
I absolutely agree with Brian. Absolutely. I don't see it quite as bad as a lot of people may expect it to be. I don't know why exactly, other than the fact that it's just a knowing I have. I do know that I'm supposed to be here in this area that I'm at right now, as everybody is where they're exactly where they're supposed to be. But I guess I view the transition, even if it could look or be bad, I just don't see it that way. I see it as a pretty decent and smooth transition.
I think that the it's exactly what we've all been saying. You know, if you believe it's going to be a struggle, it'll be a struggle for you. So that if you need a struggle in order to prove to yourself,
right?
But sometimes people don't need to prove to themselves. So you can take it however it's going to be. You know, you can choose whichever path you're going to take, whether it's going to be a narrow, dangerous path, or it's going to be a very wide, happy path that you can hold your children's hands and just gently walk up, or whether you're going to be in the jungle with fatigues on and backpacks and rifles and, you know... However it's going to transform, this is the way you're going to be going. I mean, there's no point in changing the way you are, right? The way you are is the way it's going to be. You know, we're more or less there. I think as far as we can see, there's not much time to be anything different from who you are anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually had a different viewpoint of the whole thing when I actually did spend time with, I was on the Hopi land with two other friends, and I had a very clear moment. And I believe that a lot of other things that we went through, as things unfolded, trusting my inner guidance and intuition, I made certain decisions to be where I am right now. Mm-hmm. And I did them purposely, knowing that everything's going to be okay, and that I was no longer subscribing to the prophecies as they are read, because when you read them, they could be interpreted as very destructive. And from some of the stuff that I've read, I mean, that's really what was actually projected a long time ago when the prophecies were created. I mean, it doesn't sound like there was much hope for humanity when you read them, but I believe that we've changed so much as a human species, and that the efforts that have been made with the star seeds coming in and the crystal children and all of the light workers, especially the ones that have paved the way for us and created a nice foundation for us to work with now. And it seems like we're coming in phases. So it's like, okay, this group, they kind of did their work, and it's time for a breather, a break, and then the next wave comes in. And then the next wave comes in. And I think this is really getting us to a point to where we can have a smooth transition.
I would favor a smooth transition. And the impression I was getting when you were speaking was, it's like a bunch of cheerleaders who know what's going on and are trying to get everybody kind of wound up a bit, but actually everybody's asleep. they're all sitting in the grandstand, they're all kind of dropped off and having an afternoon nap, and perhaps for some of them it might be the best thing, because otherwise they may feel frightened, because, you know, like I think humans...
Can I interject?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, one thing, though, that I find that a lot of us, and I'm not trying to be judgmental or anything, I'm just being very, like, logical in my thinking, is that we all, you know, like what Michelle was explaining earlier, all depending, and what you were also adding in there, JP, about how each individual is given the free will choice of either experiencing something extremely difficult, or they could choose to live a path that's a lot more serene, more soft, a lot more delicate. We basically shape the paradigms that we want. Mm-hmm. However, I do believe very strongly that what we're going to be facing, well, we're experiencing the gray area right now. But once the gray area has cleared, I think beyond the cloud that's fogging up everything, no matter what choice we've made to have our own free will to experience life subjectively, either through passivity or through aggressivity, whatever choice people make, I think there is one underlying experience that the entire planet is meant to go through together. So if we are presently on this world, in a quarantined world, because we are quarantined with the assholes, if I'm allowed to say that, okay, then the problem that lies before us is that the few of us that are awakened within the millions that are sleeping is not only are we faced with not having enough time to wake people up anymore, but we're also fixed on the dilemma that we have to take care of those that have children. We have the children of our own. There's a lot of these things that start to make everybody realize in the end that it doesn't matter what choice you make. On a global scale, they will try what they can to make everybody experience one living hell. And that's what I honestly believe. Because if we're on Lucifer's turf, if you want to take it that way, why in the hell would the bad guy make it easy for you? He wouldn't.
I believe there's a great deal of intervention that's been going on, especially in this past year. And I think a lot of the information that we were given before, everything has changed, in my opinion. It's changed so much. And and now I understand, and this is just the way I feel about it. Now I understand why I have been so calm and relaxed in these past few months of the whole thing. I couldn't quite figure it out. I went through these levels of urgency because I would get these messages or knowings of things. It's like, okay, do this. And then I would just try to, you know, I would like things like get shoes and jackets and get people to get locations together for canned foods and this and that. And then all of a sudden it would just go away. I thought, whoa, I was just getting going. What happened? It's gone. It's no longer necessary. I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me.
But these are telepathic impulses that we all should be experiencing right now. And you'll get this very, very strong impression to go and do something. And it's just because it's the right time to do it. And you never know.
Yeah.
You say, all right, I've got to go and buy some rice. And I go to Tesco's, and rice, instead of being 76p a bag, is now 46p a bag. You know, it's cheaper. So I can buy more of it, because it's time to buy it. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we get these incredibly strong urges to do these things. And I've certainly seen you go through these things, and both of you, really. And we all have it, you know. Sometimes, you know, I'm invited to a party and I don't want to go, and I think, oh, yeah, I might as well just stay home. But I get this kind of little my little Hitler kind of starts stomping up and down inside my head and saying, no, you got to go to the party. It's time to go to the party. We have ways and means of getting you to the party. So I go to the party and I have to do my party piece, which was the doing the reading of the rays. So, and then years later, these people say to me, oh, you remember that party we were at and you read my rays and you said you were spot on, you know. And those are the moments that we get these things for as well. That's the application of true telepathy, in my humble, that it's something that serves the moment that you're in. When you have the ability, when the universal mind knows where you are, and how you can affect something in the real world and create a path for somebody.
Yeah, and then also we are truly pillars of light wherever we are in the world. So it's not that everybody has to wake up. We just have to hit a critical mass.
Yeah.
Once we hit the critical mass, we're carrying everybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, what, a million? A couple of million? I mean, I don't know exactly the numbers, but I know it's not really that many.
It doesn't take too much, and I'll tell you how it works. It's this: if you ever watched a bunch of kids destroy something, you know, say that they got they found the shed and they think, right, okay, let's trash it. Even if they're really little kids, you know what they do? They rock it backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, and eventually it will just fall to pieces because they're vibrating it. They're causing a vibration. You know, you can cause a vibration in a swing by pushing just exactly at the right time. You don't have to, once you've got the thing going, you know, when you're pushing a child on the swing.
Momentum.
Once you've got the thing going, and you just have to wait for the cycle to come round where the back of the swing comes up high and then it starts to go down low. And if you just give it a little extra push at that point, it goes faster and faster. If you get your timing exactly right, you see? And that's how vibration can make something so much bigger than itself become under control. So, like, for instance, if you wanted to split water, all you need to do is find that moment in the hydrogen cycle where the swing is coming up and then just about to go back down again, and give it a little extra kick there, and the hydrogen will separate from the oxygen, and you can make Brown's gas very easily because you've got just exactly the right frequency, exactly the right phase. Because all is light.
Great.
Including little sheds that little kids can break up. It's just amazing, you know, the damage that these things can do. So, the blue pill and the red pill. So the blue pill
I'd
is
like
this
to
thing.
Bring something up, JP.
It serves you right for eating it. Brian, go on.
Okay. Michelle was just earlier mentioning changes, things that have changed since last we knew of certain things and so on and so forth, and things have changed and they're better. I've been following the world and what's going on in the world in the shadows, and I've not been around a lot. I see what's going on and I don't see things getting better at all. Like, there's media blackouts on nuclear power plants all over the globe. There's earthquakes that are going off the charts on a daily basis. They don't even talk about it. China just last week got hit by a huge flooding that was so fatal, over 550,000 Chinese people had to flee. So I'm trying to sit here and think about what positive changes have come, and I don't see any coming. Well, that's why I'd like to know if we can have clarification on that, because
sure,
this is a spiritual war on a physical level. So because they're doing this on a physical level, how could we claim that there's divine intervention if we don't have any evidence of it, because they do media blackouts on everything?
Yeah, so it's a war.
That, it's really amongst ourselves that we can rely on now, can we? Because there's nobody else out there that wants to get the information out other than people like us.
Right.
So I find it very difficult for people who are listening to right now, as much as myself, you know, like, I'm not necessarily a pessimistic individual on a daily basis, but what I'm trying to point across here is, isn't it difficult that when we see light before us, it's very difficult to try and share it with others because there's so much crap going on? They're throwing so much at us in the last 2 years and, you know, in the last months to come. The Webbot report has underlined so many things that I've been following with Waterman that are coming to pass. And it's no surprise. And so I'm wondering, how can we, for the listeners, bring maybe something, Michelle, that you might have that you've witnessed yourself that can give them that little push of hope? Because I've noticed people around me that are awake and aware, and some of them are struggling with the changes. And they're very...
Yeah.
They're very pure-hearted people, but they're struggling with it because it's a lot of changes all at once.
I know. And trust me, I do know exactly what you're talking about. I absolutely do. And I do agree with you, Brian. We are having a war on a physical and spiritual level. Sometimes I'm aware of the spiritual battles that are going on. So, I mean, it's not all... You know, I'm not skipping around through the flower patches at all. I'm very aware. I'm very aware of a lot of the stuff that's going on around the world. The way I'm participating is like, we just had an event. It was actually three events that came together kind of spontaneously. There was the third annual Live H2O event, which we did a water blessing. And there just so happened to be a Hopi, Vanessa Kay, on the 21st of this month, which was summer solstice. She did an amazing water blessing. She's part of the Hopi Water Clan. And that was amazing. So we're doing work in that way. Also, there was World Loves event going on. And an event that I felt prompted to put together after my experience with the Hopi. I had a Project Wildflower, which kind of got tweaked a little bit, and I didn't feel prompted to cancel it. And I understood why later, because I was invited to actually do a ceremony, my very first ceremony, which I got to use one of my tools from another lifetime that decided to manifest itself third dimensionally, and now I'm working with it energetically. It's made of copper and healing stones. So I guess it's just I am aware of everything that's going on, but I consciously choose to hold the space for the best possible scenario. And I'm not budging.
Right, Brian. Let me lay it out for you, mate.
I like the answer she gave.
Thank you.
She's going to stand her ground.
I am. You know me, Brian.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're all doing out here. We're seeing all this, and we're like, all right, well, the tide is going higher, but we're still not going to move.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, scare me all you want. It's just a game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, first of all, let's have a look. Why do I run this show? It's about the esoterics. The esoterics means the inner, the things that happen on the inside before they happen on the outside. So within when I talk about the rays, we got what might you might say is the 10th dimension, if you want to look at it. And it goes down the seven rays until it hits the third dimension. And the rays are the process of manifestation as, you know, accretes more and more matter around it. And so when you're talking about spiritual work, it happens on a very rarefied etheric plane. But that plane is incredibly energetic and gathers matter around it. First like a skeleton, then the flesh, and then the skin, and then the presentation, and then the reality as it manifests down through the dimensions, through the planes, into the outer world. And one of the interesting things is that we've seen a lot of stuff that's been going on in the rarefied worlds over the last few years. You know, we've all had our relationships, we've all had our battles in those relationships, and we've seen the way people can be, and those are the ways that that's the battle. That we, you know, on the emotional level, the battle has already happened, but now it's in the physical plane level, and we're seeing it playing out in the world. Now, does it end in a nuclear war? Does it end in a nuclear winter? Does it end? Does it ever begin? It may not begin, you know, because there are unseen things. I believe that there is the red Kachina and the blue Kachina. Now, I've only got a few minutes left before the 90 minutes. However, it doesn't matter because I'm running this radio station, so we can have 2 hours if we want. We've got plenty of time. Thank you very much, Dave and Muggsy. But, you know, this is an important thing. I want to talk about the red Kachina because we've been talking about the blue Kachina, and it's very obviousness in the heavens, right? Okay, so it's going to be something that is going to be very, very clear to lots of people all over the world, no matter how many chemtrails they've been covered with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I have a question for JP.
Okay,
dear host, could you please explain to us what the red thingamajiggy is?
I was just getting that. I was just about to read this part out.
I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
That's all right, Brian. Thank you for just asking the question that was. No, that you know, we could have scripted that.
I think JP had probably brought it up about 3 or 4 times trying to get it out of me, and I haven't complied yet. So,
oh, keep going at it. I'll just be mute here.
So, as far as we can see, Elenin is what they're going to call the blue Kachina because it's going to be very, very obvious in our skies. Okay. And then it talks about the twins. And not far behind the twins will come the purifier, the red Kachina, who will bring the day of purification. The day of purification. Do you know what that's? They call that in the Hopi prophecies?
Nope.
Let me see if I can get it. They call it Koyaniskatsi. There was a film about it in the 80s. It was brilliant. It was, you know, the first time I ever heard about the Hopi in the early 80s with this this film, and it's got this kind of chanting thing, music by Philip Glass, and it has this very long monk-like singing stuff, and then it's got this very kind of fast twittery sort of music which describes our modern life and the way the two are kind of merging. But anyway, it's about the day of purification, and it says on the day of purification the sky will be crisscrossed with lines. The Koyaanisqatsi also means a world out of balance, or a world requiring rebalance. And that certainly sounds like our world just now. You know, it really feels like we're at the very edge of complete tyranny, don't we?
And I find we're at the crossroads.
Yeah, I mean, it's like this is the point. You know, we're waiting for the miracle, aren't we?
It's us.
We are the miracle.
Yes.
That's the miracle. We're going to discover that we are the miracle. Yes, but absolutely, we are waiting for the big fireworks. Now, I'm wondering if chemtrails are a way of being able to disguise this bit of fireworks so that we can't see them. Anyway, next, not far behind the twins will come the purifier, the red Kachina, who will bring the day of purification. On this day, the earth, her creatures, and all life as we know it will change forever. Now, do you remember that vision I told you about a few months ago?
Yes, I do.
I'd
the
say
metal.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
with the metal and the red star, the red
yes.
thing, the red body. I think that's what they're talking about, because
you know,
I heard the word cleansing. Okay, let's just run this by the audience. So a few months ago, I was just having a very playful meditation, let's say, in a group, and I was able to remote view in a particular way an event that was going to happen. And what I saw very briefly, only lasted a few seconds, but what I saw was an enormous body, much bigger than the planet. Not so huge like the sun, but, you know, considerably larger, coming very, very close past the planet, and it's very, very hot. It glows red. It's like an enormous magnet. In fact, it's like the biggest magnet you've ever seen. And I saw these particles running up from the earth, and I heard in my head iron filing. So I'm saying that this is like an enormous magnet that is drawing things up. And it was very real. It wasn't like a symbol. It wasn't like a cartoon. It was a very, you know, very real depiction of this. And then as these particles were going up towards the body, I heard the word cleansing. And every time I hear about cleansing and I read this red Kachina, which will bring the day of purification, I think that purification and cleansing more or less are synonymous, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the purifier will issue forth a great red light. All things will change in their manner of being. Every living thing will be offered the opportunity to change from the largest to the smallest thing. Isn't that an interesting way of putting it? Every living thing will be offered the opportunity to change.
You know, it's interesting because the third aspect of our suppression has been the feminine aspect,
mm-hmm.
which is created an imbalance, which of course needed to happen to create a irritation or level of... we just needed to have these different cycles of, we had our golden ages and then we had the dark ages and we went through all these cycles. But, you know, I guess that's what it needed. That's what needed to happen to go through these levels of learning through our, you know, through our life cycles. But isn't it interesting when you were saying that, I kind of thought of the different trinities throughout history. One, of course, being Christianity, Trinity, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. In Egyptian, Isis, Osiris, and Horus. Mm-hmm. In Hinduism, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Mm-hmm. And of course, the very first, which would be Sananda Kumara and the goddess herself, which is coming back and is actually here.
And they all relate to rays 1, 2, and 3.
Absolutely.
Just got to get those rays in there. Ray 1 is the father, Ray 2 is the child, and Ray 3 is the mother.
The Trinity.
The Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Trinity represents the Holy Spirit. You see, number 3 is mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, and that's what Trinity represents in the Matrix. Morpheus is, of course, number 2, and Neo is an anagram of 1. Huh? Duh, work it out. He is the one.
But I mean, if we really look throughout history, I mean, there's a lot of information, really. I call them golden threads that you can see the connections and their true meanings.
Yes.
Go back to the old ways. Isn't that in the prophecy?
Absolutely. Those who remember the old ways.
Exactly. We just need to filter through all the nonsense and just have an awareness or do our own research and do our own soul searching, because if you connect with your higher self, you're going to get it in downloads.
Okay. Brian? Everybody.
Yep.
This is the key paragraph. Mark these words. Those who return to the ways given to us in the original teachings and live a natural way of life will not be touched by the coming of the purifier. They will survive and build the new world. Only in the ancient teachings will the ability to understand the messages be found. It is important to understand that these messages will be found upon every living thing, even within our bodies, even within a drop of our blood. All life forms will receive the messages from the twins, those that fly, the plants, even the rabbit. The appearance of the twins begins a period of 7 years, will be our final opportunity to change our ways. Everything we experience is all a matter of choice.
So I guess the real question is that what are you going to choose to focus on? Each and every one of us individually.
I might as well focus on what makes me happy and what, you know, whatever it is, like doodling around in the shed and building things and making electronic circuits and putting up shelves. These little things make my day. You know, I put up a shelf this afternoon that I can put my new tomato plants on in the summer house, and it's a solid shelf and it's a happy shelf. And it took me 5 minutes to put it up because I'm, you know, I've got all the right tools, and I didn't cut myself. And I, you know, all these marvelous things like that. Things are getting better all the time. But
they are.
I know what you're saying, Brian. There appears to be this duality where things are really right and, on the other hand, things are also really wrong. And everybody's sitting around the campfire going kumbaya. Isn't everything wonderful when you're seeing people dying and suffering and all this stuff is going on in the world? However, mm-hmm. we knew this was coming, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And it's all part of it. And so... we do have to focus on the fact that this is a temporary thing, and all things are temporary, and all things manifest, and all things demanifest, and then manifest again. We come in, we go out, we come in, we go out. You know, you were here before.
It's just I'm not coming back this time.
Yeah. Keep saying that.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, you got to realize, though, Michelle, when you leave and you don't come back, just keep in mind that the planet itself didn't do anything to you.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, I do come back, but I'm not physical. I look more like ghostly, like, but a little more tangible than that. I do.
Shade of pale.
I just don't come back this dense.
Well, I could certainly be do with being a little less dense. So let's just have a quick look through. There we are. It's important to understand these messages will be found upon every living thing, even within our bodies, even within a drop of our blood. Didn't I see a sci-fi with that in it? That there was a symbol that was written everywhere, and they could zoom down, and wherever you looked, this same symbol was there. What the heck is going on? No?
What symbol?
I don't know, it was some symbol. It was like an X-Files or something like that. Okay. Never mind.
Something that if you guys want to talk a bit about symbols related to maybe, you know, a theory that I have on something. It's a little twisted, I gotta admit. So I'm forewarning people, it's twisted and it's kind of bizarre. But it's just through information that I've come across through the years of research that seems to point to something that's connected to that, perhaps. Is the fact that you have Elenin coming in, and there's this theory going on about how Saturn represents Satan. And at the North Pole, even Richard C. Hoagland, I believe, is the one that speaks about it. There's a hexagon on the North Pole of Saturn.
That's right.
And if you look at a hexagon and you actually understand the real geometry of it, it's actually a 2D drawing of a three-dimensional cube. That's what it is. And so when you look at the South Pole, you have the one eye of Horus, which, you know, represents the black sun that they worship. And so when they're talking about the sun, it's about that sun. It's not about the yellow one. And then there's this thing where there's this connection between this energy that comes from the north through the south, basically through the Saturn planet, and then goes all the way down to what that person claims to be. The Anunnaki is the Anunnaki are on the moon, and like through the moon center down through the South Pole, there's another signal that comes out and it goes through the Earth and it disrupts us and everything. And it's kind of like a monitoring system, if you will. And so it connects then to what that person's believing, that the barium and the aluminum in the chemtrails are creating a bandwidth all across the globe for them to transmit information a lot more smoothly at the cost of lives, you know? But then there's also this other connection to it where there's, while all this is happening, there's Elenin coming around, and I'm looking at the NASA information, and what that seems to suggest is when Elenin's going to come in and we are passing in its tail, you're going to have Mars that's going to be to the total opposite end, to the right of the Earth. So then you look on the moon, on Mars, and you look at Andy Bishago's work, and he's talking about teleportation devices and technology that allow them to teleport from Earth to Mars within like 12 minutes or something. And so you see the pyramids and the face on Mars, and you know that there's life out there because he's proved it. Anyways, that's I totally believe those photos are authentic, and they are what they are. And the species, the people that are living underground, if Elenin comes in and the Illuminati want to survive and they're going in bunkers, are they really going in bunkers, or are they going into areas where they've stationed stargates that allow them to teleport to Mars so that when Elenin passes, whoever's here, well, whatever happens to them happens to them, but in the meantime they're on the opposite end of the spectrum, not living any of that kind of experience as we will, and then when everything's over, they just teleport back over and reclaim the world. Yeah, so that's my twisted
theory. We'll be waiting for them.
Well, because,
because the Hollow Earth people have decided to open the portals to the rest of the surface world. Mm-hmm. You know, while everybody's gone, you know, we'll take over your facilities.
Yeah, I hope the Hollow Earth thing is true and that there's good guys in there.
I think we're surrounded by friends.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more good than bad. And the bad, they've already done their job. They've done it extremely well. And they're on their way out.
Do you really think the quarantine is going to be over? That they're going to lift it and get them out of here?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think they would have already, this is just my opinion, they would have already done what they needed to do even before the quarantine is lifted, which from what I understand is very soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's some more paragraphs for you. I'll say it again. Many will appear to have lost their souls in these final days. So intense will be the nature of the changes that those who are weak in spiritual awareness will go insane, for we are nothing without spirit. They will disappear, for they are just hollow vessels for anything to use. Life in this will be so bad in the cities that many will choose to leave this plane, some in whole groups. Only those who return to the values of the old ways will be able to find peace of mind. For in the earth we shall find relief from the madness that will be all around us. It will be a very hard time for women with children, for they will be shunned, and many of the children in these days will be unnatural. Some being from the stars come, some from past worlds, some will even be created by man in an unnatural manner and will be soulless. Many of people in this time will be empty in spirit. They will have sampaku, no life force in their eyes. As we get close to the time of arrival, the purifier there... As we get close to the time of arrival of the purifier, there will be those who walk as ghosts through the cities. Through canyons they will have constructed in their man-made mountains. Those that walk through these places will be very heavy in their walk. It will appear almost painful as they take each step, for they will be disconnected from their spirit and the earth. After the arrival of the twins, they will begin to vanish before your eyes like so much smoke. Others will have great deformities both in the mind and upon their bodies. There will be those who walk in the body that are not from this reality, for many of the gateways that once protected us will be opened. There will be much confusion. Confusion between sexes and children and their elders. Life will get very perverted. And there still will be little social order in these times. Many will ask for the mountains themselves to fall upon them just to end their misery. Still others will appear as if untouched by what is occurring. The ones who remember the original teachings and have reconnected to their hearts and spirit. Those who remember who their mother and father is. The Pahana who have left to live in the mountains and forest. When the purifier comes, we will see him first as a small red star, which will come very close and sit in our heavens watching us to see how well we have remembered the sacred teachings. This purifier will show us many miraculous signs in our heavens. In this way, we will know Creator is not a dream. Even those who do not feel their connection to spirit will see the face of Creator across the sky. Things unseen will be felt very strongly. Many things will begin to occur that will not make sense, for reality will be shifting back in and out of the dream state. There will be many doorways to the lower world that will be open at this time. Things long forgotten will come back to remind us of our past creations. All living things will want to be present for this day when time ends, and we enter forever the cycle of the fifth world.
Wow. I haven't heard that one. That's pretty dark.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of crap I know about.
That's the bumpy road you're talking about, Brian.
Yes, that's the reptilians, draconians, and the... Like, the Webbot Reports calls them space goat farts. Goes anything from comets to ETs to celestial bodies, what have you. Mm. Now take those ETs coming back to reclaim this planet, and the Illuminati here don't want to give it back. So it's like a family feud, free-for-all, and it's who's going to get the big marble, blue marble. But in the end, I quoted Doc Waterman on that, blue marble. The entire thing in our reality is we are here, and this is our time. This is the space we are offered. So it's up to us to stand up to both of them and reclaiming the planet. And that's going to require a lot of effort.
There are a lot of different ET groups that are interested in Earth. Mm-hmm. This goes much further, although the Anunnaki did do the most, apparently the most destruction on the planet and actually created the quarantine that we're in now. But as far as like the saying, okay, well, all of this was due to the Anunnaki. Well, first of all, there's two divisions or two aspects of the Anunnaki. There's the reptilian aspect of it, and then there's also the galactic aspect. Everybody thinks the Anunnaki, they're all reptilian. They're not. But even the ones of the reptilian could be good. They're not all bad. And some of the galactic aspect of it, they could be bad, and, you know, they're not all good. So it's a whole big mess. But the thing of it is that this is no longer just a war of that group. It's so much bigger than that. And not only that, that the group that came down and created us and a whole bunch of other stuff, there's a price to pay, as there always is. And it's part of their evolution, just as it has been part of all the other ones who came. We all have to go through our cycles, and we all have to learn, and we are learning from it. Because we were genetically manipulated, we didn't get the luxury of all the millions and billions of years of evolution that a lot of the other species got to go through. So we have to do it in an accelerated way. But the reason we can do this, even though our genetics have been blocked off because we have 12 strands, actually I've heard somewhere that it's actually 13, it's 12 and then the 13th encompasses the rest of them. We're only operating on two strands, possibly now we're getting into three, maybe a little bit more. But we have all the genetics of so many different star races, not just of the Anunnaki. So we have the capacity and the ability to go through an accelerated integration periods to bring in this shift, because that's actually what we're here for. But the Anunnaki also have other higher groups. They're not higher. They're more evolved, way more evolved. So they're not going to allow these groups, these ET groups, to come in and, as the reptilians would do, the bad ones, you know, make us their food and slaves and impregnate the women and have that whole Nephilim thing all over again. I don't see that happening. That's not in any of the visions that I have had. And having contact with the light beings, which are very evolved, they have shown me in a knowing way and sometimes visually that the prophecies that have been laid out are doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. And I don't see a lot of what was prophesized happening.
But the red kachina. This purifier will show us many miraculous signs in our heavens. In this way, we will know Creator, God, whatever, is not a dream. Even those who do not feel their connection to spirit will see the face of Creator across the sky. Things unseen will be felt very strongly. People will feel things, you know, it'll be very, very obvious. Imagine how it's going to be for us then. If we can feel things that most people don't feel, imagine to the point when most people can feel these things. They'll be quite intense.
Yeah. That's why we're having all these different levels of things happening
That's
to
why
us
we're
lately.
We're challenged. We're being trained, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's cliche and all that, but you look at the X-Men movie, that's exactly what it is, an evolutionary jump in the chain of our DNA. The chromosome changes.
Brian, I mean, you are even aware that you have the capacity and the ability to fly. And you know that already. I mean, once our DNA starts popping on, you know, we're in business.
Okay. Red pill.
Yes.
We will receive many warnings. We will receive many warnings allowing us to change our ways from below the earth as well as above. Note that, below the earth as well as above. So they're talking about the inner earth people. They know about them. Then one morning, in a moment, we will awaken to the red dawn. The sky will be the color of blood. Many things will then begin to happen that right now we are not sure of their exact nature, for much of reality will not be as it is now. There will be many strange beasts upon the earth in those days, some from the past and some that we have never seen. Strange beasts? The nature of mankind will appear strange in these times. We walk between worlds and we will house many spirits, even within our bodies. After a time, we will again walk with our brothers from the stars and rebuild this earth, but not until the purifier has left his mark upon the universe. No living thing will go untouched here or in the heavens. The way through this time, it is said, is to be found in our hearts and reuniting with our spiritual self. Getting simple and returning to living with and upon the earth and in harmony with her creatures. Remembering that we are the caretakers, the fire keepers of the spirit. Our relatives from the stars are coming home to see how well we have fared in our journey. So that's the end of it. That's the positive end of it. But it's going to be difficult. But this the whole Red Dawn thing, that totally matches with the red dwarf coming so close to us that it lights our sky up red. Like if you took a glass you know, well, like when the way the sun lights up the atmosphere before it comes around the earth.
You know, one of the things that I am aware of is that at some point, when you said that our brothers and sisters from the stars will walk with us, you know that bar scene from Star Trek?
From Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah, Star Wars.
Where Han Solo blows the guy away, yeah.
Where there's all different kinds.
I always love the bar scenes. That's my favorite part. Every science fiction movie has got a bar scene. I always look forward to it. I love the creatures all having a drink. It's, anyway, go on.
Yeah, that's.
So that's what you saw, the interstellar bar.
No, they're just open and walking around and did like nothing.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
Big ones, small ones, ones with big clippers like claws and yeah.
It's interesting here that the nature of mankind will appear strange in these times. We walk between worlds, and we will house many spirits even within our bodies. So there'll be people who are not only... You know, it's going to be so crowded here that many spirits are going to have to sort of piggyback on our perception, just so that they can go through it with us as well.
Interesting.
Now, here's my feeling, right? Mm-hmm. You know this healing light? This little red light that we've been tossing around here. Do you know this thing we've been talking about? Dave has got one, Tracy's got one.
What is it?
It's a light. It's actually like a little display sign that, you know, those display signs you get in the shop, and they have a little marquee that says things, you know, buy cigarettes or, you know, holiday time. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
No. It's a little sign. It's made with LEDs and an array. So there's a matrix of LEDs that is quite bright, like a torch, but it's in a particular color of light, and this color of light is 660 nanometers. It's a frequency of light. It's the color of warmth. And basically, it's the exact frequency of light that travels around in our bodies, nothing more, nothing less, just exactly that frequency. And it fires into our into our bodies and has amazing healing properties. And I have a friend who has MS who doesn't give it back to me when I lend it to him. And there's another woman who's treating herself for mercury poisoning and heavy metal poisoning.
Oh, wow.
It's an incredible thing. Now, I'm just wondering if this red dwarf is not emitting the same frequency that is incredibly healing to us at the same time as being partially destructive.
Oh, I could certainly see that. I could certainly see that.
Can you get that, Brian?
I can imagine that.
So that it's
all depending on the choice that you make.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yes.
It's all about individual choice.
Yep.
I think.
It's, well, the choice. You know, those who remember who their mother and father is. Mm-hmm. And the ones who remember the original teachings and have reconnected their hearts and spirit.
You know, it's so weird to me, because sometimes I think about it, and when the light being split me outside of my body and I was in three locations, the part of me that was up way up outside of my body, and I was just in a complete epiphany state of just knowing, I mean, like everything, wow, it's just and my brain would not be able to handle it if I wasn't put in that space where there was no time. But one of the things that I got out of that was that the source, the creator, so what we call God, was energy. It was pure energy. And the thing of it is that there was no judgment. It's almost like it didn't have an opinion in a way. It's not something that would be, you know, have a ruler over your head, you know, saying don't do this and don't. I didn't feel any of that. But then I do, you know, completely embrace and understand the female aspect of Mother Earth. And I'm very, very connected with the earth and the ley lines and energies and that stuff. That is the cleansing part of it. She's cleansing the earth. She's the one who's getting rid of all the unnecessary things that are here.
So that looks like the red kachina.
I'm kind of leaning towards,
as well as it can appear negative, as anything can, and really that's where we're at.
Right.
It really depends where you're coming from And if you read the whole of the prophecy, it's eventually a great thing, the greatest possible thing. But you try telling a caterpillar that being a butterfly is going to be really much better, because as far as it's concerned, it's dead. It's going to die. It's going to be
right.
put in this tiny confined space and not being able to move at all
right.
for a while. And I suppose that's where we're all going to be. We have to be very, very calm, and we have to be in our hearts. However that appears to be. And I believe what that is do what you love and don't do anything that you hate.
Do you remember, Jeremy, that vision I shared with you, that it was like a cocoon, but it had sharp points on it, and it spun really fast?
Oh, no.
You remember that?
No.
No?
No. But we've only got a minute left. So we're going to have to reserve that for another moment. Michelle Long, Brian Internocia, thank you very much for coming on and being a luminary of the now, as I keep promising.
Thank you. It was really enjoyable, by the way, Michelle. It's just really refreshing to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Likewise. Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to play out a little tuny. And thank you very much and good night.